All right, another episode of Whiskey Throttle Radio presented by the Moto Hub. On this episode, we have Tyler Medaglia on to talk about the upcoming Canadian Triple Crown Series that starts next month. Also talk about racing some GNCCs, his plans for the future, and his new business venture. It's called My Pit Board, so he talks about that a lot. Really great interview there. Also on the line is a Factory Sherco youth development rider. It's Alex Luger, coming off a second place in A Open at the Wild Boar at GNCC. So we talked to him about his ride there, how this whole deal with Sherco USA came together, and just his schedule moving forward. As always, huge thanks to our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, makers of high-quality racing oil, as well as many other great products such as Chain Lube and Degreaser. Make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off. They want to hook you guys up, so make sure to check them out. They've been a huge supporter of this podcast. As always, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We're on many more as well. So, awesome. Let's get into it. On the line with me right now is a Canadian motocross legend. It's Tyler Medaglia. How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm good, Kurt. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, anytime. I mean, I just had, like I said, I just had my daughter was just about having a meltdown downstairs. Hopefully it wasn't too distracting. Yeah, freezing her hands off outside by the looks of it, pushing her bicycle through a field.
Oh, man. No, it's all good. So, hey, to start this, I want to ask... We saw you at the Wild Boar GNCC. I was down there. I've raced at Hogwaller a bunch. Super gnarly course. How was that for you?
Oh, man. That was, yeah, super gnarly is a good way to put it. It was insane. Yeah, really, really tough. And, I mean, it went okay for me. I mean, started off pretty strong, and then, but on the first lap, I like three quarters of the way through the lap, I was behind Josh Strang, and I seen him take this like kind of sneaky line last minute, and I turned a little bit too late and tagged my handlebar on a tree and took a hefty digger. So bent my bike up a bit, and it really like one of those ones that really stung. Mm-hmm. So it took a little bit to get my groove back, but just kind of rode steady most of the race, and finished, and you know, got seventh in next C1, which is really not where I wanted to get, but at the same time, I wanted to finish, and
at
least finish
with the crash, and you know, you're not racing GNC or off road full time. I'd say that's pretty good. Top 10, and what was I think 13th overall in the day.
Yeah, 13th overall in the day, and yeah, I mean, it's a little bit annoying because I've gotten a fifth there. I've done better, and I was expecting mm-hmm. to do better. It's just tough racing, man. There's so much shit that can go wrong sideways in 3 hours, especially how gnarly it was. And my moto, I used my moto setting, my moto suspension this time instead of the off-road stuff, just because of the sand. The sand loops were so like big and gnarly. I just wanted a bit of hold up, but it beat the shit out of my hands. Mm-hmm. I like my left hand. I had like blisters across like the whole thing, and you got to be hard to do these races, man.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Maybe I'm just noticing it more, but the last couple of years, you tend to see like more moto guys come over and try these out, and I think they get a whole new respect for those off road guys. And then when Caleb obviously came and raced Unadilla and did really well, I think. It put a little more respect in the moto guy's eyes for the off-road people.
Yeah, and I mean, just for me, I've been good. Like, I haven't got to do any for the last 2 years, so I've been strictly focused in motocross, but like you say, like it definitely, there's definitely more interest in motocross people. And, you know, even some of my friends have tried, like Kevin Benoit had tried a couple. He really got his eyes open with how tough it is. And, you know, yeah, lots of people. And even just Caleb's on a crazy level, but yeah. I mean, obviously he can, you know, and with really good equipment and his skill set. And, of course he's going to show up at the motocross race and do good. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So I, like I said, I started doing them, in 15, I was in my first one. I did it at that one and did well. And, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's kind of like a running race. Like while you're doing it, it's tough, but as soon as you're done, you get that, you know, you get that high from it. And, yeah. You know, I want to beat my record there. I have one of those races. You know, I know that the ability to do really good. So I just, yeah, it's tough, you know, so, yeah, but it's a lot of fun.
I also saw you race Big Buck, only got 3 laps in, though. What happened there?
Yeah, Big Buck sucked. I had a lot of time preparing for it, but then I went and did all my testing in California for my season, you know, what I get paid to do. Mm-hmm. So I was in California testing and getting all my motocross and arena cross and everything set up. And then I flew to the race. I flew back to Florida and then drove straight to the race. And then I, you know, of course I was riding my race bike over there, and my race bike is crazy fast compared to my off-road 450, which is kind of like a practice bike / beater. I did the start and 3 corners, like you did like the two grass turns. And then you dropped into the trail, and I don't know who I hit, but I either hit tag one of the Baylors or I hit the side of like a wall, like the four-wheeler rut. And, it bent my brake pedal right underneath my, clutch cover. So my rear brake was half like on, and it boiled over right away. So I had no rear brakes the whole time, and it was pretty miserable. I couldn't push. I couldn't really go, you know, I couldn't ride like I normally rode. And I went all that way. I'm like, screw this. I'm not going to quit. Yeah. I'm going to ride it out. And then I crested one of the rises, and there was a bike laying across the trail, and I smoked the bike, went over the bars, crashed really hard. And then I was like, I was over it at that point, and the bike was just mangled. So I was like, yeah, I got to pull it in. It sucks, because I wanted to do well and start off strong and kind of ride more like how I rode at Wild Boar. But yeah, the way she goes. It's racing.
So your Canadian stuff starts next month in April. Are we doing any more GNTCs, or is it full on just focusing on getting ready for that?
Yeah, I don't know. I might do one on my way home from Florida. Mm-hmm. After Hogwaller, I came home. I'm home right now for a little bit of a break, and just to reset and make sure I'm on, you know, not peaking too early before my seasons and stuff. So so I came home for a break, and the plan is to go back down, ride motocross, and you know, get ready for the Triple Crown stuff. So we're starting off with arena cross. So I'll probably ride some supercross and arena cross a little bit. And then, yeah, hopefully on the way home, I can do the one in North Carolina, maybe.
Okay.
On the 4th or 5th, or maybe even the one, what's the next one after that?
I think Camp Coker in South Carolina.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've done the one in Morganton before, and that one seemed fun, but the other one, Camp Coker, seems like it's sandy, kind of more, it looks faster, it looks like more like, you know, it looks more fun to me, but I've never been there.
I raced it last year, and it wasn't quite, I'm from Florida, so it wasn't quite that Florida sugar sand, it was kind of like a clay sand mix, but it still had the sand whoops and all that, and it was fast, so it was definitely a really fun one.
Nice, yeah. And did you do the other one,
Creek? Yeah, I did that one too. That one was super cool. A lot different than what I'm used to, for sure, with the hills and all the clay. But that was another really fun one.
Yeah, I basically want to do the ones with the least amount of roots.
Yeah, they're probably about the same. I don't really remember there being a lot of roots at either of them. I think that's more like the snowshoe and all those other ones.
Yeah, did you ever do Unadilla?
I haven't, no. I didn't, or I didn't.
Oh, Unadilla was the best. I did that one a couple times. That one was sick. And he rode on both the motocross tracks. You got to hit the big jumps and gravity cavity, and the trails were actually pretty fun. And it was like obviously gnarly. It's always going to be gnarly at these races. But yeah, that was a pretty fun one too.
Yeah, I did. I've done Camp Coker, Steel Creek, the one in Georgia, Florida, obviously, and then Snowshoe. And Snowshoe was just brutal for me because I was a sea rider at the time. It was definitely not prepared for that.
Yeah, I haven't done that one, but yeah, it looks nasty with the roots and rocks and shit and all that stuff, and usually muddied up there too, eh?
Yeah, it's got everything pretty much. Another reason I want to get you on, Tyler, was to talk about this new business venture you have, My Pit Board. Can you talk a little bit about that, what it is, and how you got that started?
Yeah, actually, it started in 2015, like at our national tracks in Canada. Some of the pit boarding or mechanics areas are in really shitty spots. And my mechanic and I, my mechanic was at the time in university going to school for engineering and mechanical and electrical engineering. So he was, was a super smart kid. Yeah, so then I was like, well, don't we just build an app, and then I'll put my phone in a case and cut out a bar pad and put it on the thing, and then you can just text me. So he made an app, and then we tested it. And then I put like a quad lock case on my phone, like you can get for motorcycles or bicycles. And yeah, we hollowed out a bar pad and put my phone in, and yeah, sure enough, I could ride, and he could text me and tell me what I needed to know while I was riding. And then I was like, oh man, we gotta sell this to people because it's really sick and it's pretty cool. And but the problem was is that nobody, a lot of other people would want to put their $1,000 iPhone on the handlebars of their motocross bike and trash it, right? So and then he said that it must make a standalone device. And he said it wouldn't be too hard. I could do this, and I was like, yeah, man, like let's go. And then we kind of split in on it, and yeah, and then he took it, and then he got a team of guys in university and kind of made it bigger from there on top of what it was already what he had already planned. And yeah, and then we started testing different variations of it, and just a device that went into our own bar pad, and we had our own cover and own screen. And yeah, so it's really, it won a bunch of awards in the University of Ottawa. And yeah, it's a good business plan. And yeah, it was really successful on a scholar base. So yeah, so now we're just getting into, we did a pre-production run, so we can get some info back from people in different areas of North America that we had them. And yeah, and now we're just gonna do our first run of 100 finalized production ones. So it's gonna be available in May. So it's yeah, it's starting to move along now. I've gone through a lot of different iterations of it, and tested a lot. So we've put a lot of work in, that's for sure. And it's like, and whenever I don't ride with it, I get pissed off. Like I've forgotten to charge it one night, or if I forgot it the shop before loading my stuff, and I get to the track and I don't have it, I'm like, it bums me out. Like I get pissed off because it's so effective. Like it's nice to know all your stuff, right? Like you can see your lap time very clear every lap. You know how long you've been on the track. You can see how many laps you've done, and you don't need to look at a little watch or worry about using your Garmin watch and messing that up, or breaking it. I mean, obviously you can break anything, you can break the device, but yeah, it fits really good on the bike. It looks seamless, really.
Yeah, and every like I was looking at the website earlier, it seems like every like level of rider can use it. I know if you've ever been to Croom, but I have like a couple of little loops out there where I'd love to just, see if I'm getting faster throughout the day or whatnot. So it seems like it's very user friendly for everybody.
Yeah, and I used mine at Croom, and it worked perfectly there. We had some like we went through a different couple of GPS antennas. One, you know, one worked good if it was overcast, and then another one wouldn't work that good if it was in thick woods, you know. But the one now, the new one, you know, I haven't had it not work for me, so it works everywhere I go. And yeah, so we got most of the bugs sorted out, and and just keep updating and just keep refining it, and then, you know, always trying to get some investors. And it's a big project, and it's tough because it's hardware, and it's a very niche market. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the software and the work that those guys put in isn't a joke. So it's just trying to get the word out as best we can, and get people to try it and just to realize how good of a tool it is.
And where can people go to find out more information on it?
Yeah, well, it's going to be on the Instagram account, MyPitBoard, or MyPitBoard.com. And like I said, we're doing a run of 100 here now for May to get it out there. And the finalized product, everyone's really stoked on it. It's a real deal thing.
It definitely seems like a really cool tool to use for training and all that. So, yeah, it's super cool, man. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, your Canadian motocross going on. Last year we saw you jump down to the 250 class for the Triple Crown Series. What was the reasoning behind that?
I had offered just because of my size. I had great success on a 250 when I was younger. I moved up to the 450 class really early in my career, you know, 19, you know, when I was 19, 18 and 19, my first pro year, I rode 250s, and then I raced, the Canadian series was split at, I can't remember when they went back. I think 08 was maybe the last year, maybe 08 or not. Oh, yeah. 09 was the first year that the 250 class was the whole series along with the 450. Mm-hmm. So my first year I raced, the 250 East Coast, but they had a 450 for me on the West Coast, and I ended up running with the top guys at Calgary, Paul Carpenter and Colton Fasciotti. So I was in battling with them. So they bumped me up just because of the potential. They bumped me up to 450s pretty early in my career. And and then when I moved down for the first time and raced for Blackfoot, I won back-to-back championships in the 250 class, and then I got bumped up to the 450 full time after the 2011 season. So, all my memories of on the 250s was pretty good. And I'm 140 pounds, not very big. So, when the team was, you know, they were struggling to find a 250 rider kind of both seasons. So when I always, I let them know that if it ever came down to it and they needed me to drop down, that I would do that. And then, you know, it ended up being that way. The last minute kind of deal went through, and then, you know, I kind of suggested it again that, you know, again, if they needed me, as long as nothing in my contract changed, then I would be happy to ride the 250. So that's what we did. It was okay. I ended up getting second overall in the Triple Crown. I got a win in Arena Cross, a win in Supercross. I got, several podiums and outdoors and stuff. So, it wasn't a total failure. Second is the first loser, but, you know, I was expected to win. I believe that I should have won, but, it's just not riding, not even sitting on a 250 since 2011. You know, there was a bit of a learning curve. I worked my ass off. The team did too. And we had some good races. So, there's no real regrets or complaints on my end.
Yeah, I was going to ask if it took you a little longer than maybe you expected to get used to. It's one thing to go out there and ride a 250, but, you know, to race at the top level with the other top dudes, did it take you a little bit longer to kind of get the flow?
Yeah, it did. And, practicing, like you said, practicing is one thing. I could go out and rip around like really good, but at the races when everyone's on their main rig and everything's punched to the max, and It's tough, right? Like on a 450, being small, I don't need much motor. I have run, similar gearing forever. And then on a 250, you have to change gearing for elevation. You have to, the start, you want the bike to hit so hard, but then it's hard to control in the starts. And then you get, these young kids that are coming up on, that are 135 pounds on, these other bikes that are really fast. And, and then there was, with the Kawasaki 250, it was the end of a 4-year run for the, 2019 was like the end of the 4-year model run. So, there was a lot that had to be done to the engine to modify it to get it competitive. Whereas like even this year, my teammate Marshall Welton, I've been around when they're testing his bike in the 2020 is, man, his bike rips. So, it's just one of those things where it was a lot of tinkering and a lot of testing and trying stuff, and it's aggressive. And, it just took a little bit longer than I had expected, but it's just the way it goes. And, that's the team was good with me, and we didn't have any DNFs. It was good.
So for 2020, we're back on the 450. I know you said Marshall's on the team, so I would expect him to be the 250 rider.
Yeah, Marshall's on the 250, and me and Matt Gerke are both on the 450. It's been really good. My, with the testing we did with Pro Circuit and stuff in California was all really good. And once I got my bike back to the tracks that I was familiar with in Florida, it confirmed that I really was happy with how I ended up with my suspension and chassis and everything. So, we're in a really good place. I'm really looking forward to it. The bike is great. So, and it was a little bit stiff in the Palmetto roots. Let me when I used my moto suspension, it rips on the moto stuff. And I'm definitely looking forward to it this year. Got some tracks in Canada that Kamloops hasn't been on the schedule for a couple years, and we're going back there, and I really like that track. And there's a lot of stuff to look forward to.
So obviously I think was this the third year that Jetworks has been doing it, so it's arena cross, motocross, and supercross. So when you're kind of preparing the off season, do you put a certain focus on one of the disciplines, or do you kind of try to spread it out all evenly?
The arena crosses, it's basically all arena crosses.
Yeah.
They call the supercrosses because, it was supposed to be in bigger venues, but it ends up being in the smaller stuff. I mean, even Quebec City they can retract the seating pretty far. So we get an extra lane. So it's a bit bigger, but at the same time, it's all like, there's some amateurs that run on the track a little bit. So they're not crazy big.
Yeah.
But for me, obviously the priority is motocross, and that's where, that's where the money is, and that's where that's our bread and butter. We know the tracks, we're really competitive, and it's just, it's not a 6-minute race.
Yeah.
I guess you could say it's just like any indoor racing. That's just my opinion. I mean, a lot of people like doing that shorter stuff. Obviously I'm into more of the longer stuff and enduros and off road and all this other stuff, but so my emphasis is always on motocross, but I have the supercross track set up at my place in Pleasant Valley here in Nova Scotia, so I get to ride that. And there's a couple places like in Green Cove Springs that I ride.
Yep.
An arena cross track and supercross track. So and the boys were, when we were all before Daytona, everybody was down riding supercross. So I would hop in the motos with them So it's all good.
Like I just said, a third year for the Jetworks guys. Obviously, it was CMRC for a long time. How do you feel the transition has been, and how has the kind of the new, I guess, promoters been? How is the series as a whole? How do you like it?
There's obviously some growing pains. There's been little issues here and there, but I think it's what was needed. Some fresh, motivated people. I had nothing against Stallygraph and CMRC, really. But you could tell that they're a little apathetic towards the end there, where you know, it's no real motivation. It's hard to say, you know what I mean? You get sometimes you can get complacent and sort of in a rut, and you just, you know, just things just turn over and they are what they are. And I think with the JetWorks guys, they're really motivated. They want to put on a good show. Obviously they want to make money. So, and you know, I think trying to get the riders more money. I think it was a good move. I think it's the, you know, I think this year should be hopefully the best year yet. And yeah, I mean, the racing is really good, man. There's a lot of competition. The TV package is much better than it was. You know, we're getting more exposure. I think it's trending upwards, which is, in this sport, it's tough. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, with a niche market and there's only so many fans, and, you know, we want to get as many people riding motorcycles as we can. So, you know, it's important to put on a good show and make sure everyone's doing their job. And yeah.
But, yeah. My main news and knowledge of Canadian moto usually comes from Pulp. So whenever he's got Galdi on there and stuff, whenever they're talking about the series, it does seem like it's getting better. As you said, there's always growing pains. So it's good to see, you know, it's going strong.
Yeah. It's good, man. I mean, we get, we get some good crowds at the races, and, you know, we have most of the fans, you know, either ride themselves or they have their kids ride or something. Mm-hmm. So, it's nice to see. There's a lot of passion here, and it's just tricky, you know. The people kind of stay inside the box more so here than, you know, when you go to California and see, you know, the amount of people that ride motorcycles and stuff and do it, and it's more accepted. Here people are more reserved and, you know, just kind of plug away, not like sheep, but you know what I mean? Like, just don't, you know, I get a lot of questions like, man, you still race motorcycles? Like, they don't think it's a reality or something that you can attain. Right. But I mean, for kids, you know, I grew up in a middle, like in nowhere in Ontario, you know, I went to school. I stayed home during the winter. I played hockey, you know what I mean? But I'm still able to, you know, make a living racing motorcycles. And you know what I mean? It's just something that some people just don't think about.
Definitely. So we've seen you down here in the U.S. Nationals three times, good results, three top 20s, and then one top 10 2 years ago at Ironman. Did you ever try, or was there ever a thought to come down here and race full time?
I mean, obviously, it was tough, right? Like, I was trending towards it. You know, I won a regional arena cross championship in 2009 with GPF at Kawasaki. And, I was just kind of trending towards, like, starting to go to Supercross. I rode for Suzuki City and did a couple Supercrosses. And then, then after arena cross, I did good outdoors up home. And then I got a ride with Blackfoot. And then they really put a kibosh on racing anything other than what I'm paid to race. Yeah. So they didn't want me to race Supercross, and rightfully so. I mean, I won two championships. It was good career move. I make a good living racing in Canada, and it's just like, you know, the rides are pretty sparse down in the States. I mean, obviously there was, I feel like I had the ability. I mean, and our series is really competitive. I mean, a couple of years ago, I can't remember how many years ago, but I mean, Nick Way got fourth at Redbud and then raced the next weekend at Sandalie against us and got fourth here. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, our competitive level was just, everyone's good in their own environment. Right. So, any time that I would go down, you know, I'd have decent results. But like, I'm not in the series, you know, and normally I would just go, like when I got sixth at, Ironman, I was just at my dad, I flew to Ottawa and, we picked up my race bike at the team shop in my dad's van on the way to the race. I bought two, bowls, Chipotle bowls the night before the race and put them in the fridge. So I was eating cold Chipotle all day and just sitting in the back of my dad's van, and you know, showing up to race. So it's not like we don't get the full opportunity to really showcase what we're capable of down there. And as when I say we, I mean like any of the Canadians that really have the opportunity and try to go down and yeah. put in solid results. So yeah, I mean, it's, I would have liked to have given it a go. I had a pretty couple gnarly injuries, in a very inopportune time of my career, as an amateur, and cause you know, and growing up and going through the Loretta's and stuff, and that kind of came to a halt. And then I lived a little bit, you know, I was able to, you know, hang out with my friends and,
yeah.
and do dumb kid shit. And, which was also good and important. And that's why I've been able to stay focused for a long period of time and maintain a solid career in racing.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense, man. And obviously your career worked out pretty well, and it's still working out well for you up in Canada. Before I let you go, I have one last question. Obviously, yesterday and today has been pretty hectic in the sports world. How bummed are we about the NHL?
Oh, dude, not good. Not good. It's just spiraling out of control. It seems like today, man, canceling the crowd at Supercross, and then NBA and then NHL. Oh man, it's
everything.
Yeah,
even NASCAR.
Everything.
NASCAR down here too. It's nuts. I'd be surprised if Supercross is able to do all the rest of the rounds. Obviously, Seattle already got canceled too, but I wouldn't be surprised if Indy's the last round for a while.
Yeah, it just seems crazy. I mean, obviously it's got to be serious, right? Because I mean, there's a lot of money on the line for some of these businesses, and you know, normally they don't care about stuff like that, and it's pretty cutthroat. So you would seem to think that it's got to be serious. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I was
saying, way she goes.
I was saying the same thing. You know, obviously. It's bigger than people think, but it's definitely a bummer with all the sports getting canceled, and especially if it, you know, leaks into the motocross world. But thank you so much, Tyler, for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Hopefully we can get the pit boards out there and get people to try them. And yeah, I appreciate you giving me the platform to share some of my experience. And yeah, thank you.
Yep, you enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, man. Later.
See ya. What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high-quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick-ass degreaser, detailer, and pre-race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well. Head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D lubricants.com and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green, hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out. Back to the show. All right, on the line with me right now is a rider who is part of the Sherco Youth Development Program. It's Alex Luger. What's up, bud?
Nothing much. Just driving through Georgia right now on the way to the GCC with my mechanic, Kyle Turner, and Moto 4 Plate.
Dang.
Going to go getting tested in tomorrow, so trying to get ready for this weekend.
You sound pretty official when you say my mechanic.
Oh, I know, right, dude?
We're
dragging them out, but, well, we're kind of taking a little detour first, because we're actually selling a couple American Bulldogs for him, as a priest dog. So it kind of worked out both ways. It's not just going up the fence, you know, so it's a little mutual beneficial type situation here, so.
I got you. Where are we testing tomorrow?
We're going over to Brody and John Johnson's house in South Carolina. So it's a little far, but on the way back down from where we're going up with dogs.
Well, cool, man. So, hey, racing A Open in the GNCCs this year. Second place at Hogwild this past weekend by 1 second, and third overall amateur. You got to be feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with the, especially the amateur part. You know, that's cool. I came into the season wanting to get as many amateur podiums as possible, obviously. Big Buck didn't go so well, and then to be able to get third and second in Open A was nice, especially it being Florida. That was really what I expected. And I mean, I was, even after Hogwild last year, my goal was for this year to be on the amateur podium. So it would have been nice to get that win in Open A and, you know, second on the podium. But it was, like you said, 1 second, so I was just a little too late. I didn't really catch up to the leader until the last mile or so, and it wasn't. I thought I had a line lined up, but Chase Hayes cut me off right there, and he's a good rider though, so I'm not too mad to lose somebody like him.
Yeah, I was watching you all day. Obviously, you mm-hmm. and Scott Gahler are battling pretty hard there. Did you just your fitness just get better at the end, or were you just a little bit better than those guys? Because it seemed like you really broke away in that like last lap or two to catch back up to the leader.
Yeah, so I mean my first couple laps, well, my first lap really, I kind of started off slow, and then I think I got to Scott by the end of the second, I want to say, the first time around, and my scoring is a little messed up because my transponder had problems. So if you look at that, it's not really that accurate, I don't think. But I ended up getting up to him, and I ended up making the pass, like third or fourth lap on him. And I held it for a couple miles, and I started to pull away. This is like right in the, I don't remember where exactly I made the pass, but I ended up just tipping over after getting maybe like 10 or so seconds. But I got a little antsy, and I overshot a corner, and it like kind of threw me off balance, and it was in a weird section that I couldn't really go past it. I had to like fix myself, and so he got back around me there as soon as I got back on the bike. And from there, I kind of just followed him for a little while, and he started to pull away a little bit. I think like fourth or fifth lap, I kind of lost sight of him. So I knew he couldn't have gone too far. So I kind of slowed it down. I didn't really, because I was having a transponder problem, I didn't really know exactly where I was. I knew I was fourth physically at amateurs. The Brody who passed me first lap from Stupid Deed, and then I knew Scott was behind somebody and then me. So I kind of knew I had to make the pass from Scott to have a shot at the amateur podium. Mm-hmm. So after losing touch with him a little bit that fourth or fifth lap, I saw the two lap cards. You know, I tried to just stay if it was in, and that last lap, I knew it was last lap, and I was kind of trying to hang everything out. So I know I'm in pretty good shape, and so I really poured it on, so I was able to start seeing Scott again, and so I made a pretty hard charge, and I don't remember quite where I passed him, but I remember being able to see that it seemed like he was fading a little bit, so I kind of tried to put some pressure on him so I could get a spot and make a pass. I didn't think there was really many passing lines out there. It was kind of one line, but with the track being that rough, it's hard to really take multiple lines anyway.
Yeah,
because it's really just one main smooth line. And I got the pass on him, and I had no idea what the gap was for me to first. I didn't even know I was close until I came into the pits, and I had Kyle screaming at me like he's right there. And by then I was too little, too late. I was already only like a mile from finish, but. And I tried to put it on, but couldn't make it happen. So I'm still happy with second. It's definitely a lot better than Big Buck, in all things.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about the track, but you kind of talked about it there. But it was weird. So parts of the track that like are usually underwater, like right there by the finish line, were super dry. But then the soil everywhere else seemed like it had quite a bit of moisture on it. How was it muddy out there? Was it dusty out there? How was it out in the woods?
Honestly, I think it was great. I mean, it was, like you said, in a couple spots it was a little dry. Mainly it's like, I feel like those black dirt sections that are wet all year round, when they do dry up, they get, you know, real dry. And the sand seems to, you know, hold a little bit of moisture a little better. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, there was only one water hole, and it was nothing bad at all. Like, it was maybe a couple inches deep, and it wasn't slow to go around. I know a couple people blasting down the middle and stuck their bike, at least I heard.
Yeah.
And I know there was some spots it was deep. But that was the 1 p.m. only section, and it wasn't really bad at all, especially compared to years past. There was no sections where it was like detrimental that you go walk the track and find a good line. You know, it's kind of just like you could take a basic line through here and be just fine.
Yeah. You mentioned Big Buck 2 weeks ago to open the series, eighth place. Now seeing that you got second, I'm sure that you're kind of bummed with that eighth place.
Oh, I was bummed with it to begin with. Yeah, I started terribly. I was like 30-something because there was like 40 guys in our class that day, and I started way in the back because I made a little slip-up on the start. It wasn't through the bike or nothing. It was all me. So I didn't help myself at all, and then I was stuck behind a couple packs for the first few laps, and I made a couple little mistakes. Like I got stuck on, I think, on the second lap, and I ran into a few lappers. It was just like I kept having this misfortune over and over, and I had a 40-second hit the third lap, I want to say it was, so I didn't have to tank this, so that kind of stuck too, and so I didn't really set myself up good at all. And I made a charge there on the last lap, and I was able to pick up a couple guys, and I ended up eighth. And it wasn't like the eighth that aggravated me. What aggravated me was the overall was, you know, like I think 61st or something, which is like way off where I wanted to be. I wanted to be at least in the 40s, especially even for up north, you know?
Yeah.
Especially based off how my results were last year, towards the end of the year, I wanted to kind of just pick up where I left off. I mean, my on-sheet result wasn't that good on Ironman, but I threw away at like 30-something overall on the last lap. So I know I've got the speed up north and not just at the stand. So it was definitely, like I said, it was definitely a kind of aggravating, like I said. And I'm hoping that this weekend isn't nearly as bad.
You know, it's easier when you start up front, right?
Yeah, I know, especially when there's that many guys too. And I'm getting passed by guys that, you know, the worst part is you get passed by guys that you feel like you should be passing, or you know you should be. Or, like I had guys that I've been riding with all winter, like Joe Pecker, he ended up second. And, I mean, he was way ahead of me, and I've been riding with him all winter. And, you know, so I know I should at least be close to him, not anywhere near where I was, so...
You can't even blame the Yamaha anymore about the starts.
No,
you need to work on this,
yeah,
Alex.
I know, the starts. And then I messed up at Hog Waller, too. I thought I was in gear, and I go to dump the clutch, and it sits there. So I've been messing myself up. I finally get a bike that it doesn't start great, but it's twice as good as the Yamaha usually. The Yamaha was totally terrible. I had one good start all year, so it's definitely better than the Yamaha. But, yeah, I got to – I haven't practiced starts before Hog Waller. I went out in the field and practiced the start.
That's probably
like
why.
I was a
that's
man.
Probably
I was like
why
a
it
pro
happened.
Guy here.
It's because you started. It's because you practiced starts. That's why it happened.
Yeah. See, everybody's getting on me like, "Oh, you need to practice starts." Oh, I'm like, nobody practices starts. I don't need to practice starts. Come on now. It's like I can't control whether the button's gonna work or not. You know.
Exactly. So, let's talk about the bike here. So you're on a Sherco. How did this whole deal come together?
So it, I guess, materialized through Ronnie Haynes and HPD. They're doing the graphics for the pro team. And Ronnie and I were talking for a while there after Ironman, or actually before Ironman is when it really started the conversation, about trying to do some sort of team or something this year. And we wanted to have a HPD full red racing team. And so it was kind of just, once we had a couple other ideas that got shot down, I guess, or we couldn't get it to come about, and luckily we were, you know, blessed with the opportunity. He was blessed with the opportunity to work with the Cherco guys, and he was able to talk to the, I believe, team owner, Ron, and he worked out a good deal. And so I'm technically, I guess, their East Coast support team. The team is Right Coast / Old Red Racing, and so they're hooking us up with bikes and the support, or supporting us the bike parts, and they're obviously all their knowledge and stuff. So it's definitely been a lot nicer than, I mean, we've been kind of scrambling the past couple rounds to get everything we can to, you know, get race ready, like the big tank or the quick fill tank and a lot of the other stuff. But with it being a new team, it's kind of expected. So it's yeah, it's definitely getting there now, so it's a little less stressful going into this weekend. So I mean, I'm excited with it, though. The bike is way better than I expected, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, nobody's paying me to say that, nothing. The bike is a lot better than people give it credit for, and I think if somebody rides one, they would really realize it's not that bad. Like, you can kind of, like, blow it off, you know, a French-made bike, whatever, you know, they don't know what they're doing, but if you actually ride the bike, it's very surprisingly good.
Did you feel really cool when that RacerX article came out today?
Dude, I was on the turnpike on the way to Kyle's, and I saw a RacerX tag you in the post in my Instagram notification, and I was geeking out, dude. I was fanboying hard. I was like, no way.
I wanted to
post something on my story, but I was like, I'm just gonna share it. You know, it's whatever.
Yeah, you so, got that.
Yeah,
cool.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Got that cool. How long did it take you to get used to the bike? Obviously, it's a 300 four-stroker coming off a 250 four-stroke. How long did it kind of get used to, did it take you to get used to the different, you know, obviously it's going to feel a lot different. It's a French-made bike as opposed to a Japanese bike, and then it's just a different engine displacement as well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when I got on it, I was, like I was saying, I was surprised at everything. I was way more comfortable getting on it than I expected to be, especially like you said, going from a Japanese, you know, frame to a steel frame at a lot more like a KTM or Husky. You know, it was surprisingly easy to ride. The suspension definitely needed work. It comes way soft out of the box for me anyway. So that was something that Kyle and I had to get onto immediately. But then for the engine displacement, it really isn't that much different, in my opinion, than the 250. I mean, it's a really like smooth power, kind of easy off the bottom. And then it's got like 350 power in the middle, mm-hmm. which is nice for the woods especially. And then it kind of drops off a little on the top, like a 250F would. It doesn't necessarily pull that long for like some 250Fs, as you said. So it's a little different getting used to than the Yamaha, because obviously, in my opinion, I think the Yamaha's got the best 250F on the market right now. So you're coming from the best 250F motor suspension for main package, in my opinion, to totally like do everything, like something I've never ridden before.
Yeah.
I mean, I've obviously ridden like a couple buddies, Huskies, big amps here and there, but then going to a totally different, like I said, engine and frame and everything, it was definitely weird. But the Sherco has the KYP suspension, like just like the Yamaha, which helped a ton because we already kind of knew what direction to go with the shit, like all the valving and all that stuff. So it made it a lot easier than expected anyway. So it wasn't too bad. Overall,
I'd say. So you're sporting the number 36 this year. Obviously, 36 is your national number. You finished up your first, you know, full season GNCs last year. Third and fourth stroke lights A. You had four wins. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it. Obviously, I think the goal going into the year, just off the top of my head, I think it was the podium. I mean, ideally, that's what I wanted to do. I mean, everybody wants to win, but it was my first year racing out of state other than like the two random three races I did in 2017 on the 1.5, but I would have liked to have at least got second, because me and Johnny Manero, the guy who got second, were really close, and I actually had it, I guess, wrapped up, you could say, going into the last lap at Ironman. I was running second in the class, and all I needed to do was beat him in top three, and he was, I believe, fifth or sixth at the time, and I had a good gap, and I ended up going down on Ironman Hill and totally throwing it away, and I like mangled my bars, and I actually went down a couple times on Ironman Hill, I should say. So I lost quite a few minutes, and that ended up putting me down in like fifth or so. Like I said earlier, I threw away a good race, and that put me third in the championship, which sucked, but I mean, it is what it is, and I knew at that point there was nothing I could do about it. But yeah, I had the four wins, which was nice. It was, my big thing was trying to get good overalls, you know, especially being on like the sixth and seventh row, alternating each round. I kind of stuck for overalls. It gave you a lot easier chance to get lap. And my best result, which I won at High Point, I ended up 24th overall. There was a few guys there that DNF because of bike problems with all this dust and stuff like that. But I didn't get lap. So it was the only race I stayed on lead lap. So that was nice. So I definitely had some standout rides, I'd say, last year, but also some really bad ones. But I think overall it was really a learning year, because I mean, I never really, with all the mud races that we had at the beginning of the year, I never really ridden anything like that. So, and I could tell I was progressively getting better and better each time I rode it. So, mm-hmm. definitely, it was definitely a good year. So,
What besides the sand, obviously, what terrain do you think suits your style the most? Like, what type of track, I guess?
I mean, I want to say, like, I guess a real rough slow track maybe, but then again, that's kind of how Big Buck was. It didn't go so well. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I definitely know I have the advantage, and obviously being from Florida. But I love riding on boards, honestly. I want to get up there. I try and get up there as much as possible. I've gone up a couple times recently, and it's always a blast when I go. I feel like there's nothing really that does. I think I can kind of ride everything except for, like, the super technical stuff. You know, still not that good at it, but I definitely learned rock pretty good last year. I mean, I ended up getting stoked too, but there was effectively the Mountaineer round. I ended up having I almost matched my Florida result, going one overall position off and getting the win in the class. In my opinion, that was one of the rockier races of the year. I think it was pretty rocky. And it was just pretty dry too, so it was almost a little silty and sandy. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I learned pretty good how to ride rock, but at least in a GNCC course. So I'd say, other than sand, though, I don't really have like a specific style. But I can tell you, I do not like the mud race, mainly because I just don't do good at it. But I mean, don't get me wrong, like Ironman was super fun to ride, and the super rutted races are a blast to ride. But I just don't do very good, so kind of sucks. So.
I gotcha. How was your off season? Who'd you ride with? And I guess how the off season races go with FTR and all that.
Off season went great, I think. I mean, I started out really strong in the FTRs and had a few top regions on the AA, so that was nice. And I kind of took a couple weeks. I'd say more like a month or so. Not really training, just kind of riding here and there, but not really like working out or anything hard like that. Mm-hmm. So hold on, it's like another call. I kind of took that time off, and then when Ben Parsons came down, I started riding with him a good bit, and then the whole Tulsa crew and Thad Duvall and Trevor came down. Actually, you know, I didn't really ride with Trevor that much this year, and I had a good bit with that and Ben and the Tulsa guys. We went to a few different places, and so it was a good off season. I did a good cycling with them, and I'd say it was a lot of fun. I didn't really put in, I don't think, as much as I would have liked to, but I feel like I'm pretty prepared. So I feel like especially after this weekend, I think I proved that I am, if not better, on where I was last year. Fitness wise, at the beginning of the year, because I did a lot last year, so I'm happy with it. I am well.
That one day you rode Croom with me probably helped you a lot too.
Oh, dude, for sure. And then obviously we rode last week, so that tremendously helped. I mean, riding with somebody of your caliber, Kurt, it's just probably the best thing I could have done for myself going into Hog Water, you know?
Hey,
hands down.
You ride with me, and then the next week you get second overall amateur, or third overall amateur, like. It's not a coincidence.
I think I might have to have you. I wish I would have had you come out today because I rode the house again. That would have been nice.
I know.
Get a little repeat. That would have been sweet.
Yeah, you just got to get me on the payroll, man. I'll ride whenever.
Yeah, give me my ride, coach. How about that?
Sounds good to me. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate your time. You and Kyle, be safe on the road, and best of luck in Georgia this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Kurt. I appreciate the call and the opportunity as always. So
you wanna give some sponsor shout? What's that?
I said, will I see you this weekend or no?
No, you will not see me in Georgia.
Won't see the Moto Hub brand, no?
Nope.
The new wrap?
Nope. You will not see it. But hey, let's shout out some of your sponsors, bro. Give them some love.
Right Coast Racing, the whole Right Coast Racing team and Circuit USA for all their involvement helping us with the program this year. Kyle Furness from Moto4 Play for, you know, getting the bike dialed and driving up with me to Georgia or driving me up to Georgia, I should say, to get testing in. And Tom Sully from XL Trainer for, you know, keeping the training program dialed in. And then HBD Motographics and Molrad and Fly Racing, Darnay Booch, Scott Goggles. They're engineering. Flow Motorsport. I think it's only two guys. I remember them all. I got Kyle looking back at the bike. Oh, Level 10 Power Sports, they're going to be, they're our parts dealer for Sherco's kind of tires, and Double D Power Sports for the fly and the bib, S-Dibs Ram, C-Concept, and, you know, all my friends and family, and of course, Whiskey Throttle Radio. Wait, what is it even called officially? Whiskey Throttle Radio Show?
Just Whiskey Throttle Radio, man. Come on, get
Whiskey
together.
Whiskey Throttle Radio. Hey, well, there's two of them, all right? I got getting excuse. The Photo Hub, Florida Dirt Bike.
Hey,
that's it.
I appreciate that. Sorry, I was a little distracted. Breaking news. Pretty sure Supercross canceled this weekend.
Oh, I know. Wait, for this weekend, too?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I saw Scott Flesinger posted something about it. And he said maybe Aaron needs to go to a GNC. I think we can see that happen.
I knew they were gonna do no fans, but I think now they're saying it's just canceled.
No fans, like nobody could go to the race.
Yeah, like they were just gonna have it so that the riders were out there, but now I think it's canceled altogether.
That would be ridiculous to begin with. They would make no money, so that'd be pointless, I think. Yeah, that's definitely a call.
Oh, well, maybe
I'll. Yeah, well, I don't think it's a good call, but it's tough.
Maybe they'll all just show up at GNC.
Yeah, that'd be something. I hope they don't. That'd drop my overall down quite a bit. I'd like the opportunity to race Eli Tomac, though, especially when he hopefully doesn't. But if he were to lap me, that'd be pretty funny to see.
It would.
Watch him try and dodge the truth.
All right, man. Best of luck.
Yeah, appreciate it, Kurt. I'll talk to you later.
Yep, see ya. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Living the life, that's how I live. Try to get out, tell me how to survive without my crew. Armani's, Ferraris, casinos, hitting jackpots. Good luck, I think not. We own the car from block to block. City to city, all day, every day. It's like a celebration for the criminal nation. Himido, wife and kids, that's what I need. Wanna go out like a man, trying to understand without blood on my hands. Dear God, please save my soul. I put the rest on hold, not seven. I still got time to reach heaven. 1 million reasons to get out, choose one. There's only one to put the 9mm to your dome. Then you're gone. Did I do right or wrong? Tell me. I might drop some tears from my eye, but you never see me cry. Champagne spit rhymes like crazy insane. LA to Stocktown, different players caught up in the same game. Am I right or am I wrong? Straight caught up in the game. I'm confused, will I win? Will